Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Now, I've been talking about your purpose in God, and I started the series last Sunday. And by the grace of God, it is intended to bring out the core of what God has designed you to be and to live for, that you excel proficiently in your calling. And last week we talked about how wisdom is critical to the exercising of God's will for your life. We spoke about Jesus, using him as an example. You saw Jesus from the age of 12 till the point he died. The accumulation of events that unfolded. I mean, if you laced Jesus' life through the span of his time here on the earth, you will see significant moments where he had to express what God wanted him to do per time. And we said that if the axe head is dull, there's going to be a problem with the timing you achieve a certain task, and it's going to make the work harder as well. But wisdom is critical in the fulfillment of your purpose. Every one of us, Ayo, can you please help my volume, please? Every one of us have things that God would have us do per season or per time. Today I'm going to lay certain foundation on the subject of purpose. Last Sunday was introduction. We saw the life of Jesus from the age of 12. He gave himself to study and the asking of questions. And by the age of 30, he was ready to exercise or to live fully in the area of his ministry, or to manifest in his ministry. And then by the age of 33 and a half, you see Jesus on the cross. Jesus was called to save mankind, but he didn't start saving mankind from the age of 12. He would need to go through a certain process, because the Bible says also concerning Jesus that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Wisdom is critical, because there is so much God has embedded in you. And all of these things can come out when you are able to interpret the seasons in your life. The moment you have lost track of the seasons, the times in your life, you will not be able to connect the dots. But if you see Jesus, he was able to connect the dots and link events, interpret events in his lifetime. There was a group of people in the Bible whom the scripture talks about. They are called the men of Issachar. It says, this men of Issachar understood the times and the seasons. It is so critical, because you must learn to understand the times and the seasons in your life. I mean, when you look at one man or a woman, for example, and you see how at different stages in his or her life, you are living the purposes of God every day. That is the design of God, and that's what God wants to achieve with you. And then we also went ahead to talk about the evilness of the day. It says, be circumspect, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we said that your ability to redeem the time is your ability to take yourself outside of the natural tendency of time or the days to lead you through a tangent that is outside of God. Because whether you like it or not, the times are evil. The days are evil. Satan is at his best right now. Let me put it that way. As long as you understand what I mean. Satan is on the loose. In fact, let me also say, these are the days of Daniel. I don't mean it in the sense of these are the days of Elijah. That's not what I mean. When I say these are the days of Daniel, I'm saying these are the days of the kind of atmosphere Daniel was operating in. Daniel was operating under the Babylonian culture, that legislated culture, or a Babylonian system that legislated culture. Today, it is not just enough for culture to prevail that speaks against Christ. But if you look carefully, today, culture is being legislated. Today, laws are being passed, you know, that speak against what doesn't make faith. Today, what is not natural has become a conversation. Aberrations have become normal today. And they are not just aberrations, they are becoming laws. It happened in the days of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar said something. Anybody who doesn't bow to this image. So that's legislation. Because the music will play, and from the intoxication of the sound of the music, it might move you to bow. You see, when the music is played, there's a statue there. But he doesn't leave the command to the intoxication of the music. He leaves the command to a legislation, or he makes it a command, and he says, everybody must bow. That the moment you hear certain sound, you must bow to this golden image. That is the time that we're in. So if believers are not sensitized to the times and the seasons, you would never be able to actualize your purpose in God. Because without you knowing, you are already a victim. In fact, we are disadvantaged because of the times that we're in. We are victims of our environment already. So we must be on the offensive. And the only way we can be on the offensive is if we're intentional about what God has called us to do. More than never before, today, in the body of Christ, the church looks like the world. The church behaves like the world. The church reasons like the world. The church operates like the world. More than ever before. So there is a cross-culturing. But we need to counter the culture. And the only way we can do that is be intentional about God's kingdom. If you read our TSP logo, it says, establishing the excellence of God's kingdom in all sectors to be a leading influence in the current generation. Let me tell you, for those of us who want to be pro-Christ instead of anti-Christ, you're going to face a lot of challenges. I don't know what field or nation you might be in. You might be in politics. You might be in the entertainment industry. You might be in education. You might be in whatever sector it is. You are going to be against the gradient, that it is tougher to be a believer today than it was yesterday, because the days are evil. But you see, the Bible also speaks concerning your personal or your moral, the walk of righteousness. It says, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. It is the same way, that the more the darkness, the more your light. It says, for behold, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people, for the Lord shall arise upon him and his glory shall be seen. So God is raising men and women who would walk in purpose and who walk in his will for their lives. So the Bible says that we must be circumspect. We must be skillful at life. Because if we're not, you'll be hooked on victories rather than purpose. You'll be hooked on testimonies rather than purpose. You would use the power of the Holy Ghost to overcome your challenges rather than not even have the challenges come at you in the first place. If you remember the prayer of Jesus, he said something. When they said, teach us how to pray, he said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Now that doesn't apply to the New Testament. Even as we forgive those, we have been forgiven already. So we understand that. But it goes on to say, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from all evil. That's very key. Because Jesus also said, if you do not pray, you would enter into temptations. So there is a dimension of prayer that straightens your path so that you don't have to deal with what you're not supposed to deal with. If you listen to the prayer of Paul, there was a time he was praying and he said this, may God deliver you from unreasonable men. Have you seen that prayer in the Bible before? Why? Because you don't need anybody to waste your time. You are a man, you are a woman on a mission. So your path has to be straightened. You see, Jesus, when he spent time praying, he came the next day. He had not picked his disciples yet. The next day, he looked as if everything was aligning. He looked as if all the disciples of Jesus were all connected together in one space. It was easy to find Peter. Some of them were even brothers. They looked too connected to be diverse. But they were diverse. But you see, there's something prayer does. It straightens your path. It makes you achieve quickly and circumspectly rather than being stuck in seasons. It makes you move from point A to point B swiftly. Like I said, Jesus at the age of 12, he needed to learn. Read Luke chapter 2 verse 52, I think 52 or 57. That he grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. That part where Jesus was learning was part of purpose. 18 years later, he launched fully into his ministry. What was the mission? Healing the sick, raising the dead, opening blind eyes. Then he graduated from that to the core of why he was called or born, which was to die. Because if Jesus was stuck at raising the dead, healing the sick, nobody would be saved. Guess what? People will give glory to God, but nobody will be saved. People will be glorifying God for healings, for raising the dead, for multiplying your bread, but no human being will be saved. Jesus graduated from one level of assignment to another. Then he's up from the grave. He moves from being the one who bore our sin on the cross to an intercessor. Right now, Jesus is interceding for you and I. That's a new assignment, a new job description. And all of this he did in his lifetime, 33 years. So I'm going to define purpose. But before I define purpose, I want three concepts to be in your spirit. Because I will talk about these three things, all right? And they will be in progression, all right? Just follow me very carefully. The first one is purpose. The second one is vision. And the third one is economy. Now, they are sequential because one has to come before the other. So the first is purpose. The second is vision. The third is economy. What is your purpose? Your purpose is... That's what we're going to talk about today. You don't do vision before purpose. You don't plan an economy before purpose. Purpose must be discovered first before you build an economy around your life. Let me put it this way. Dr. Miles Monroe said something, that when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. So it should follow that having identified purpose, vision, which is your foresight, your creativity, and your destination, you are able to plan around what you've discovered. That's vision. There are people who have found purpose but don't have vision. So we have to talk about vision. Everybody is meant to be a visionary, because if you're not a visionary, you cannot actualize. Are you following what I'm saying? The actualization part is key. Then you now move to economy. Economy has to do with your profitability structure. What is the system that is provided by God through the workings of the Holy Spirit and wisdom to creating profit and productivity around my giftings, my graces, my ingenuities, my skill, my talents, as the case may be. So it moves purpose, vision, and economy. These three things are very important, because if you are stuck with purpose, you may be someone who knows what God wants him to do, but poor and ineffective. So let's go to the definition of purpose. Are you ready? I will give you the basic definition. This is my definition of purpose. Basic definition of purpose. So write it down. Purpose is God's design for me that brings glory to him. That is my basic definition of purpose. God's design for me that brings glory to him. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Purpose is God's design for me that brings glory to him. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." I am part of what God has created. Amen. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. By your will they exist and were created. So we were created for the will of God. So the basic definition of purpose is God's design for me that brings glory to him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." So all things were created by God and for him, for God. Do you have the Living Bible of this same verse? If you have it, let's see the Living Bible. The Living Bible. Is it there? All right, it says, "Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth, the things we can see and the things we can't see. The spirit world with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities, all were made by Christ for his own use and glory." So the basic definition of glory, of purpose, is God's design for me. Can we say that together? God's design for me that brings glory to him. That is purpose. Now write this down. What qualifies purpose? It is not purpose if you don't see these three things I'm about to tell you. What qualifies purpose? Number one, it must glorify God. If it doesn't glorify God, it's not purpose. So it must glorify God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, we've seen that scripture. You can repeat Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, that we were made for his glory. So this settles in your mind that one can be successful, but not necessarily in purpose, because if your success does not glorify God, it is not purpose. I'm trying to give you the distinction. And let me also debunk the idea that purpose is one big picture only. Purpose is not only a big picture. Purpose is your everyday life. Okay, so let me ask you a question. What is the one thing that comes very close? It's a riddle now. Anybody who gets it, I've looked for something to give you. Let me see. What is the one thing that comes very close, but never comes? This one say shadow. This one say... What is the one thing that comes very close but never comes?
Tomorrow.
Yes. So since everybody said it, I would put my gift back. You know, God has given me wisdom as a man of God. Now, tomorrow comes very close but never comes. So if in your mind you are stuck that purpose is one big thing you are going to do tomorrow, tomorrow is not coming. Tomorrow will come in the form of today. Your mind has to be recalibrated that purpose has to be today. Does that make sense to you? Because if you want to hang the moon before you know, just like India did, that they've launched a rocket that has landed the moon recently. If you want to do that before you say you are in purpose... I will break it down to show you that purpose is not that difficult. It's not that spooky. Purpose is not smoke. Purpose is... purpose is as easy can be. Because the pressure of purpose is not on you. Because purpose was not designed for you to invent. Purpose is discovered, not invented. That's why when we talk about plan, what is the plan? What is the plan? Don't make a plan if you don't know the plan. Because knowing the plan is knowing purpose. And then making a plan around what you know is how to be effectual and circumspect. So, three things that show you what purpose is. Number one, it must glorify God. Number two, it must impact people. It must impact people. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 to 16. And number three, it will benefit you. So, these are the things that show you are in purpose. God is glorified. People are impacted. I am benefiting. That is purpose. Is it possible for you to benefit people impacted but God not glorified? Talk back to me now. Is it possible? Do you know what that is called? That is called abuse. When you use your ingenuities, your creativity, your talent, your skill, and all that God has endowed you with, and you have grown to the place of success where you can impact people, you are benefiting yourself but not bringing glory to God. You are abusing the grace and the skill that God has given to you. So from the viewpoint of where you are in abuse. So purpose must glorify God. It must impact people and it must benefit me. Is this simple enough? When it benefits you, you remember the parable where Jesus gave and he says, enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's benefit. Because you stand to gain. And God wants you to profit. That's why I've divided into three. So that we'll talk about purpose. Then we'll talk about vision. Because many of us in church, it is that vision part and economy part we don't know. What we know is purpose. I know what God has called me to do. And I will still break this aspect of purpose down right now. I know what God has called me to do, but you don't know how to go about what God has called you to do. So we have to talk about vision. In the coming series, I'll be talking about vision. I will show you the importance of vision. See, the difference between people in terms of productivity is vision. How well can you see and forecast the future? How well can you interpret your resources, economy? So we'll come there. So it must glorify God, it must impact my generation, and it must be of benefit to me. There are two aspects, write this down. There are two aspects of purpose. Two aspects of purpose. The first aspect of purpose is, number one, God's overarching plan for every believer. That's number one. God's overarching plan of every believer. And number two, it is God's specific plan for every believer. So when you say purpose, when you talk about purpose, you are talking about two things in a broad sense. God's overarching plan. That overarching plan can be God's general plan for every believer, or God's primary plan for every believer. Then number two, God's specific plan for every believer. Now, what is God's overarching plan or general plan? It is very simple. Conformity to Christ. Conformity to Christ. So your primary purpose is your conformity to Christ. If you are a believer. Now, you know I'm talking to believers. I'm not talking to unbelievers. Your primary purpose is your conformity to Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Let me show you that scripture there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Let's use another version. Let's use the amplified version of this same verse. "For those whom he foreknew." Now, you know, this issue of foreknowledge and predestination and free will has been a debate for thousands of years. Those of you who are of the Calvinistic inclination, or the Arminians amongst you, it's a debate that will never end. And what is the debate? Did God choose those who would be saved, or is choice left to man to make? That is, did I choose to be born again, or did God choose me to be born again? And there are scriptures in the Bible that support the two, funny enough. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit draws him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, free will. Many came to the Lord, as many as were ordained to be saved. Predestination. So that means those who came to the Lord are those who were ordained to be saved. In fact, the concept of election, which is what the church is called, because the church is called the elect, the called out ones, it means for you to be saved, you were called out. You see, we're swinging back to predestination now. So which one are we now? So these are questions we leave when we get to heaven. We'll ask God, did you know or Nami know? So look at this verse very carefully. This verse kind of makes me take a position, right? Now, it says, for those whom he foreknew. Because you can't blame the omnipresent God and the omniscience God for knowing what he knows. It's not God's fault that he knows your future. But knowing your future, he's not going to interfere with your free will. So how can God know the tomorrow, but gives you a mind of your own to decide? It's a complex thing. Because in Genesis, he gave Adam free will. He says, of this you can eat, pick of any and then choose. But at the same time, it now looked like God had planned even before. Isn't God interesting? Because the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So God, where are we? Where are you? Where are we? Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a debate that you can never really get around. But this scripture says, for those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand. This is what he's saying. He's saying God saw those who will receive Christ and loved them beforehand. God loves everybody. But you see, there are certain people he knew would choose him. So beforehand, he made a plan for their lives before they chose him. That is why before you were saved, many things were priming you. Many things were conditioning you before you got to salvation. Angels were talking to you. That roommate kept on speaking that word. Your dad kept on giving you flyers, or your mom was pressuring you must go to church, you must go to church. But somehow God knew before the foundation of the world that you would get there. And he never gave up on you until you got there. And when you got there, it was as if God had known all along. That's what the Bible is saying. So he says, he also destined from the beginning for ordaining them. So now you see, foreknowledge is before predestination. Foreknowledge is what he knows ahead of time. Predestination is his ordination, or the stamping of his decision on something. Okay? So for ordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become what? What do you read there? Are you with me, everybody, today? Good morning, church. Are we all together? Okay? That he might become the firstborn among many brethren. What is the Bible here saying? I did not know this for a long time. I did not know that the destiny of a believer is Christ. I didn't know. I had no idea that the destiny of a child of God is Christ. I used to think that when you say destiny, destiny is only a wealthy place that you come into. In fact, in my mind, I used to think destiny is tomorrow. Now, God, hold my destiny. And in your mind, you are thinking of tomorrow. You are thinking of a big picture, largesse tomorrow. I did not know that primarily what you call destiny for a believer is a person. Destiny is Christ. Purpose, the overarching purpose of God. Two aspects of purpose, the overarching and the specific. So the overarching purpose of God is Christ. So all of us, do you know where we are all going? Christ. We are all marching towards a person. Oof. No wonder the Bible says, for it does not yet appear what we shall be like. For we know that when he comes, we shall see him as he is. For when he comes, we shall be like him. Because your destiny is Christ. So before we talk purpose, the first thing you must know about purpose is that God has called you to be like somebody. If you are on that journey to conforming to being like Christ, you are walking in purpose. Have I simplified it for you? Purpose is not hard. If you are conforming to be like Christ every day, patient like Christ, loving like Christ, enduring like Christ, doing the work of God like Christ, sharing the sufferings of Christ, you are walking in purpose. Because the primary aspect of purpose is the overarching, which is Christ's conformity. Now let's move to the specific. The specific plan, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, is good works, created for good works. I was created for good works. Now, that is the specific design that God has and will need you to accomplish. So there is a specific design of God for you. Now let's see that scripture. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? For good works, which God, please don't leave me now. Don't leave me. Let's read it together. Which God, that we should walk in them. So whenever you hear purpose, just know purpose was prepared. There is nothing like purpose is invented or purpose is created. You don't create purpose. So let me put it this way. Nothing in this world is original. Wait, let me rephrase, because that thing didn't come out well. Nothing in this world is the original. Everything in this world is copy. Heaven is original. Earth is copy. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. I'm trying to show you that the design of God suggests to you that there is a designer who has designed it before you came. So you are not your own. You don't belong to you. Your gift was not because you merit it. That's why it's called a gift. He gave you. So there is nothing on earth that did not have an original copy. Oh, I know in your mind you probably feel that, you know, there are certain things that are here that are original to earth. No, earth is a copy of heaven. You know, God told Moses, build according to pattern. What you see in heaven, do here. Do you know there's what they call the tree of life in heaven? When you study the New Jerusalem, you will see that there's a tree of life. You will now remember that trees did not originate here on earth. They were from somewhere. Your rainbow came after the fall, after rain. But there's a rainbow that circles the throne of God. Precious stones, gold, is not original to earth. Because in heaven, the streets are made of gold. So everything you see here on the earth, there is an original. It's coming from somewhere. Even your brother, the person who you are looking at, the person who you are sitting beside right now, God said, now let us make man in our own image. You are made after the image of God. So we're all copies of God. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh. Hey. There was joy in heaven before there is joy here on the earth. Joy is not an earthly emotion. Because there is joy when one soul comes to Christ. Even the fall did not begin here on the earth. Because God, even if you think about it, even the fall is as if man needed to be helped to fall. Because before Adam fell, there was a fall. Somebody was sent down like lightning, like a flash. Satan fell. Do you think wars are a concept of earthly things? Wars are not earthly concepts. There was war in heaven. There is nothing that is original to earth. So when you say purpose, it is not original to you. This is what I feel like. They feel like this one. Purpose is what you find out that is your design. Now, and I told you, if it is purpose, three things must happen. It must glorify God. It must impact people. It will benefit me. So these three things I've said, it will cut across purpose, vision, and economy. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. Now, look at another version where it's workmanship, this same verse. Let's see the NLT version. Which one is this? Okay, let's see the end. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. Please, just push your neighbor small. Say, I'm God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Oh, listen, your purpose has considered the 21st century and is not affected by the 21st century. Let me explain something to you. Your purpose is not a function of your vocation. Because when God designed your purpose, business education was not yet there. There was nothing like, are you following what I'm saying? There was nothing like aeronautic engineering. So you can't use vocation to decide purpose. Even though vocation can be a vehicle in the fulfillment of your purpose, but it is not vocation that decides purpose. Because this thing is something you are designed for. And it must meet these three categories. If not, you are wasting your time. There's another version or translation that says, something God has designed for you to do, which you had better be doing. Let me see what the Message version has to say. That's it. It says, let's read it together. One, two, go. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both making and saving. Wait, can we wait? Let's wait there. You know, some things you just read and you just, Lord, I receive. God does both the making and the saving. Election of free will. Okay, let's leave it. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. Ask your neighbor, what are you doing now? Make sure that what you are doing now is what you had better be doing. Long ago, he designed it for you. Long ago. Many of you would find out that what God has called you to do has no reference point. Before John the Baptist came, there was no Baptist. It was new on the scene. Are you following what I'm saying? There was nothing like Baptist. For the first time, you had the son of a priest not stay in the temple, but go out in the wilderness wearing the skin of an animal and eating locusts as his food. For the first time in Jewish history. But you see, when purpose catches you, who knows what Messiah is before Jesus came? Nobody. So, you see, when you are following God, I will show you some things today and then we'll wrap up. But when you're following God, learn to look at what he's telling you, not references or comparing yourself with somebody else. Can I say this? Popularity is not purpose. That's good. That's good. Popularity. What is popular does not mean this is purpose. And that it is purpose doesn't mean it will be loud. It will glorify God. It will bless people. It will benefit you. Praise God, somebody. Let your light so shine that all men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Listen to me. I hope you know that when we say it must glorify God, you must be in church or you must start a church. No. Many times the fulfillment of your purpose is outside the borders of the four corners of church. Are you here with me? So, don't be limited in your mind. But it must glorify God. It must bless people. It will benefit me. Now, listen to this. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Purpose is revealed. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 to 6. So he's trusting the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Please let me see the NLT version. He will direct your path. In fact, at this point, he's not just directing you, but he's directing your route. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So God will tell you what to do. Oh, hallelujah. Please say with me, purpose is revealed. So we receive these plans from God and we plan around the plan. That's what we do. Now let me tell you 5 important questions that you must ask yourself. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4 talks about, Bruno, come. Galatians chapter 6 talks about verse 4. Making a good exploration of who you are. Galatians chapter 6 verse 4. He says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Use the Amplified version. Let me show you something there. But let every person carefully scrutinize. Somebody say scrutinize. And examine and test his own conduct and his own work. He can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone without resorting to boastful comparison with his neighbor. So you scrutinize your own work. What I'm doing right now, am I in the will of God? Purpose is not difficult to find. Once you can see these 3 things, it shows you. Just wait a bit. Yeah. There are 5 questions I want you to write down that you must ask yourself. Dr. Miles Morrow did a very powerful work on purpose in the body of Christ. And that has blessed many people. He listed out 5 questions that are important for you to ask. And let me quickly read them. I lifted this from Dr. Myers' teaching. This particular 5 things I'm about to show you now. Number 1 is, who am I? Who am I speaks of your identity. Who am I? Number 2 is, where am I from? It speaks to your source. Who am I? Where am I from? Your source. Number 3, why am I here? These are questions you must ask. Why am I here? Number 4, what can I do? Why am I here? Number 3 speaks of your purpose. Number 4, what can I do? Speaks to your potentials. Then number 5, where am I going? Your destiny. That speaks of vision. Where am I going? So who am I? Speaks to your identity. And of course, if you want to use your natural identity to answer this question, you'll be lost. So who am I must be answered from the lenses of Christ. That everybody is given a graceful start in the person of Christ. So your identity is Christ. Your destiny is Christ. We already said that. When you are sure of who you are, you will not be quick to put on the identity of another person. You must maintain your originality, because who you are is complete and good enough. Can I say this to you? There is nobody like you. Even if you are a twin, nobody like you. There is a unique imprint that God has designed. People can look alike, There was a day someone sent me a video of a young man. He's in the army. This guy, for the first time, I acknowledged somebody looks like me, apart from my brother. I knew that this guy looks like. People can look alike. In fact, there are many people who have died 70 years ago that really look like you that you don't know. But no matter how alike people are, they are not the same. You are unique in your identity. So who are you? And the answer to this question is everything that Christ is. Because if you don't get identity, you cannot get purpose. Identity must be sure before purpose. Number two is, where am I from? Your source. And this is not your ethnic or family background. Where am I from? I'm from this family. I'm from that family. Listen to me, you are from God. Are you following what I'm saying? You're from God. Number three, why am I here? That speaks to your purpose. Everybody must have a sense of purpose in this house. Every single person. You know, I was sharing with you how that early is important to know or to be able to guide your children so that they are walking in the bent that God wants them to walk in. I was reading the story of Samson, I think it was yesterday, and I saw that when the angel of the Lord appeared, he didn't appear to the man. Manoah is Samson's father. But the angel of the Lord appeared to Samson's mother, Manoah's wife. And he gave the woman instructions from heaven. That's why I tell you, purpose is what you discover. Conditions to having this boy that is about to come. Number one, he's going to be a Nazarite. A Nazarite is one who is consecrated to God. That's a Nazarite. You must not drink wine, anything of the vine. You must not drink strong drink. You must not take wine. And you must not put razor on his head. So I saw how that by revelation, judges and freedom fighters were formed. Samson was a freedom fighter. For 40 years, Israel was under the hands of the Philistines. But God raised someone who would speak for the society and defend the people. But you see, the pattern to doing that had to be revealed. There is a deeper interpretation of what you are doing beyond the way you are doing it. Beyond the academia or the study around how you do what you do. There's a deeper interpretation. The constitution of a whole nation was delivered to Moses by revelation. God told Moses, he said, what you have heard me tell you, the patterns that I spoke to you about, that you received from the mount, go and replicate down. Because in the mountain, it was delivered to him. The first time, God wrote it. Second time, as God was talking, he was writing. And he came down and constitutions were made. So this thing is downloaded. It's downloaded. You know what many of us need to do? We need to go back to God and pray. God, what is your specific? You know, I've talked about the overarching, but now I'm talking about specific. There's a design of good work that he has called you to do. What is your specific design for me? This thing is found in the place of prayer. Pastor Paul was praying, I think it was on Friday. On Friday, Pastor Paul, you were praying. And you quoted Colossians 1 verse 9. That scripture says that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you are in clear terms of God's purpose when it has to do with every aspect of your life. You understand what you're supposed to do when it comes to family. You understand what you're supposed to do when it comes to your money. You understand what you're supposed to do when it comes to relationships. Many of you, your purpose is to be in association with certain people. But because you are not grounded in the place of understanding and you are not sensitized in the place of prayer, you abuse certain relationships. The relationships God is giving you for purpose and global impact, you are using it for hanging out. Hangout. You have reduced it to hangout. Some of you found your husband and did not even know because he didn't look, he came in seed form. But this is even beyond husband, wife, money, anything. I'm talking about the grand plan of God. You know, many things, see, when we come to vision and economy, you will see that a time will come where you have to partner. Because certain things that God wants you to do, it will be in partnerships. Steve Jobs had a friend. Bill Gates had a friend. God sent them in twos. Jesus had the 12. Even God had let us. So who are you not to think that you might need partnership? You are not a lone block. That's why you must be able to interpret the relationships in your life part time. There are some people God has given you. Some of them may be annoying to be with, but they are core to your purpose. You know, the men of Issachar, they knew how to interpret times and seasons, people, spheres, and influences. They knew. They knew who was in their life. Daniel said, I understood by books that Israel is not meant to be under captivity now. So the time is up for the captivity of his 70 years is over. It was downloaded. So Moses built a national constitution, national developmental plan, a worship plan, a religious, ceremonial, legal plan for the people of Israel by downloading ideas. And when he downloaded these ideas, God specifically gave dimensions of the building of the ark, the building of the tabernacle, and he said, I have not just downloaded the plan, I've also downloaded the skill. Go and read Ezekiel. You will see two people. The Bible calls them Aholiab and what's the second guy's name now? Subhanallah. Bezaleel, that's his name. Aholiab and Bezaleel. Do you know who these two guys are? These two guys just woke up one morning and realized that they could do crafts. They woke up one morning and realized that they had skill. It was downloaded. That's why I'm telling you, you cannot let education limit you. Many of you are limited by education. And I told you, education is a response to the fall. Because education is trying to catch up with the design of God that should come as a natural imprint in your spirit. There is a mechanism inside of you that is wired to work in purpose. Oh, come on, somebody help me. Somebody was just asking a careless question. Why is Apple falling down? If you answer that question, and it's falling down, where should it fall up? But do you know that somebody used that question to discover Isaac Newton? You know Isaac Newton is a believer, or was a believer. Sometimes you have deep concern. Those deep concerns, which are in the form of questions, are the unlocking of a big picture in your life. You know, sometimes we need to be able to interpret what God is saying. So this is what I want you to do. You know what you're going to do? Between now and next Sunday, spend time to pray for your life. What you are doing is, God, show me. Why am I here? What am I designed for? So that I will not be like the horse or the mule. You know who the horse or the mule is? If you read Proverbs, it says, do not be like the horse or the mule. What is the mule? The mule is described as the slothful one. That is, he is in the place of inactivity, the mule. The horse is the one that before they say come, he don't go. Now, let me explain. The mule is slow to act, but the horse is too quick to act before the plan. So many of us are in activity without knowing the plan. And the failure of the horse is the failure of presumption. And the reason why that presumptuous failure is more painful than the slothful failure is that the presumptuous failure comes with a lot of hard work. God said, go to a site and build. And you got there. They did not tell you what you didn't know whether it's warehouse they say you should build. You went to do 3-bedroom. You spent money. You task a lot of people. You burden people and they built 3-bedroom. And God said, it's warehouse. I told you. You did not wait to hear the plan before you moved. Come. I don't go. Wait. Come. See, the Bible says that Jesus called his disciples to be with him. And then he sent them. Does that make sense to you? Because there's a need for you to be with before you are sent. So don't be like the horse or the mule. You must be clear about your direction. Don't make a plan without the plan. Make a plan after knowing the plan. But knowing the plan, you must be able to download God. And it is the place of prayer. God, what would you have me do? What did Jesus say? I have come in the volume of the books that is written of me. So this Jesus did not originate it. It was written of him that I may do your will, O God. Don't be forming activity when you are not doing the activity. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. Because the failure of presumption is worse. It's better you didn't even waste your time. So what is prayer going to do for you in this season? Prayer will work inside and out. Somebody say inside out. Let me explain out. Prayer is going to work out by doing this. It will align all the factors that are key for your purpose. Prayer. And inside, it will align your will to agree to his will. Because many of you, you know what God wants you to do is not what you are doing. You know. Yes. But you see, the will, that thing to just come to that place of saying, yes, Lord, is a problem. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He's not saying he will give you what to desire. No. Let me rephrase. He's not saying he will give you the thing you were desiring. He's saying he will give you the desire you are desiring. Okay, I'm not making sense, and I'm hoping I'm communicating. Let me put it another way. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you how to think. He will give you what to want. For God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when you pray, you are aligning outside and you are aligning inside. Because inside, you are accepting his will. Inside, you begin to love his will. Inside, you begin to get conformed to his will. Inside, you begin to agree with his will. I wish you could show me that scripture. Delight yourself in the Lord. He says, and he will make you agreeable to his will. Then you now begin to conform the external factors that surround you to make your way prosperous and to make purpose easy. No wonder Jesus would pray. And not too long after he's prayed, it wasn't too difficult for him to find disciples. And these 12 people were the people. He didn't need to sweat for it. What did, what's his name? Jacob tell his father. Isaac asked him, how is it that you have brought this thing so quickly? Jacob answered, he says, the Lord your God has brought it my way quickly. Because he understands what it was in his own days, where he was supposed to be a sacrifice and Abraham was going to strike him and God prepared a lamb in his place. He knew how God could make a provision. So he understood what his son was saying. So we're going to spend time to pray in this season. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 is a cardinal prayer point that you're going to pray. God, what have you designed me for? Help me to be filled with knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That I'll be able to interpret my life. I'll be able to interpret the seasons. I'll be able to interpret my friends. I'll be able to interpret my circumstances. I'll be able to interpret my pain. I'll be able to interpret everything that I'm going through. Help me to understand. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. That you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God for your life. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They're the thoughts of good and not of evil. To bring you to an expected end. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 12, verse 13. Jeremiah 29 verse 12. I wish you could show me. Jeremiah 29 verse 12. Oh. It says, then you will call upon me. It's a continuation. Go back to 11. Go back to 11. Yeah. Go back to 11. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me. The calling upon me is after establishing the fact that there is purpose. Because a future speaks of an expected end. But it doesn't stop there. You will call upon him. Mm-hmm. And pray to me. And I will listen to you. Verse 13. And you will seek me and find me. You will find what God wants you to do. When you search for me with all of your heart. So friends, I want you to know that today you will download all that heaven has for you. You know what I sense in my spirit? I sense that a lot of floating acts will be, a lot of things that are embedded in your spirit will begin to float out. Yeah, that's what I sense in my spirit. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Can we pray in the Holy Spirit? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, we give you glory. Libron do bokoko bo sondo brembe gede gede bo shoko brum bokotos kabra bagata ya tala bakasha do brembe gede 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 bo japra papa papa ya te zida brembe gede gede boska. Now when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you align inside and you align outside. That's what happens. So it's important to pray in the Holy Ghost. Ropoko shada ba libre begede gede bo shondo brembe gede gede boko sate limbra pakaka shote la bagada rada boska. Listen to me, your life will glorify God. You will bless your generation. You will bless your world. And what God has given you, what God has graced you with, will impact you, will benefit you in the name of Jesus. Zide brembe gede gede bokoshka braba kakaya tala branda branda baza. Zide brembe gede gede bokoshka braba gede 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 bokoshka. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church shout aloud, amen. I pray for you that it won't be too long before you are in perfect fit and alignment of what God has called you to do. Somebody say hallelujah. Nobody in TSP will live a wasted life. No. At the age that you are, there is a level of productivity you are meant to have. You see, you might not have gotten to the big picture where you're supposed to kill a Goliath, but at least kill the lion, kill the bear. Are you following what I'm saying? Kill the lion, kill the bear. It might not be the big testimony, but start from somewhere. Somebody say hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. If you're happy, just clap your hands and give God the praise. Celebrate the Lord.
Concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.